Welcome to the program. Today I'm happy to interview Robert Sylvan from Sri Lanka originally. It is a great joy to me to interview somebody from Sri Lanka because Sri Lanka has always been on my heart. Having come from an island myself, Ireland, and having spent 21 years in the island of Trinidad, West Indies, I'm very conscious of island life. And Sri Lanka in many ways is similar to Trinidad, West Indies, because there are Hindus and Buddhists on the island and a minority of Catholics, but quite strong. And this was quite similar to Trinidad, where I spent my 21 years as a priest. So, Robert, welcome to the program. It's good to have you here.
Thank you for inviting
with me and with our viewer here as we do this interview. And I really want to go into your background from Sri Lanka. You know, you grew up in a farming village. Could you explain what it was like growing up in Sri Lanka and the farming village or farming town?
Well, I was born in a farming village and grew up with three sisters. One is older than me, and two younger sisters. Even though it is a remote village and we lacked basically nothing, everything is in abundance. And growing up in a Roman Catholic family, I thought my parents truly loved the Lord. Every Sunday we would go to Mass, and even the parish priest is a good friend of my father. He would come, but I never truly had interest in the things of God. I just hated the prayer time, even going to church. I remember the days we would get ready to go to church, but sometimes I would sneak out and go somewhere else and not going to church. And I also remember the times that my father and my mother, they would pray to Mary, kneeling down all the time. And at the end of it, because I would behave so bad, and he would also pray to Mary again to keep me good so I would behave well. And they also named me Maria Raja. It's because the first child is a daughter, so my mom prayed to Mary for a boy. When I was born, she named me Robert Maria Raja Selvam. The other thing I really wanted to say is, even though I did not have any interest in the things of God, the God who created the heavens and the earth loved me with an everlasting love. I say this because I really felt it throughout my childhood. Even when I was a boy, there's nothing that I could do wrong and get away with it. There are times that I tried so hard to hide things that I would do, but it will come to light and I would receive the punishment. So that really made me fear him. Even though I did not know him, I knew there's someone watching me all the time.
That is quite profound, Robert, yes, to say that, because the scripture just says he has loved us with an everlasting love. And even before we were saved, he had loved us, you know, chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, like it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. So it's quite scriptural, but you're bringing it scriptural truth to an experiential level, that you knew somehow that you feared God even though you did not know him way back in Catholicism. And somehow you did not like the constant prayers to Mary. Did that bother you somehow?
Yes, it did bother me. I often wanted to ask my parents, if there is God, why not pray to God instead of Mary? But I was so afraid, so I never asked.
Yes, I can understand that, because when I was a small child, and this is not Sri Lanka, this is in Dublin, Ireland, on the north side of Dublin, where I grew up in a military compound, we knelt each evening when I was a young boy, you know, about 4 or 5 years old, and we knelt to pray the rosary, you know, with mm-hmm. the 50 Hail Marys, and then Hail Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, Hail Our Life, Our Sweetness and Our Hope, the prayer at the end of the rosary. And I wonder too why it was we were praying to Mary, you know what I mean? We did have our fathers thrown in, but basically it was a prayer to Mary. And it's amazing, there are you in Sri Lanka and me in Dublin, Ireland, so far away, but both brought up in Roman Catholic families, and wondering why it was we were not praying to God. So continue on then with your youth and as you grew up in Sri Lanka.
As I grew older, I became very rebellious, and I did not want to study. I played more, which caused a great friction between me and my mother. I had to leave home and stay with my aunt. And suddenly there's this desire to study hard, and I did very well in school. Now I think of it, it was the work of God in my heart. But at the same time, because I was doing so well, the pride got into my heart. And I was really, the pride took hold of me, and I was behaving in a way that is not pleasing to the Lord. I had to write 4 subjects. The 4th subject I could not write, and I got really ill, and therefore I could not go to university. I did not know what happened then. Now I know it was my Lord taught me a lesson not to be so prideful. And right after my studies, I worked in an audit firm because I wanted to study accountancy, because I didn't get to go to university. During the time, the communal riot started in Sri Lanka. And I witnessed horrible things. My God was so gracious to me. He protected me from all harm. He kept me safe for about a week in a Sinhalese family, and they were so loving and kind to me. And at the time I did not realize, now I think of it, it was all my God protecting me, guarding me, and directing my every step, and brought me home. And then from there, I went to Saudi Arabia, and I stayed there for about 10 months, earned a lot of money, and from there I went back to Sri Lanka, and I came to Canada. While it was in Greece that because I'm coming to Canada, I wanted to buy a dictionary, so I went to the bookshop, and I bought the English dictionary, and there was this Bible, Holy Bible, just sitting right beside it. I still don't understand why I bought the Bible, but I know it is the providence of God that I would have His Word with me. I brought it with me when I came to Canada in 86, but I never read it. It was in the bookshelf.
Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? Yes. Just to go back there a second to the troubles in Sri Lanka, was that the Tamil Tigers, or what was it? What was the trouble with the violence at the time that you had experienced in Sri Lanka?
It is the Tamil Tigers. They were fighting for separate state, and Sinhalese, they simply do not want to give that rights.
Yes, I know, because I had listened. I had listened in Trinidad to a lot of the BBC broadcasts, and I was very interested in Sri Lanka because of that conflict between the Sinhalese and the Tamil Tigers. And it was a very common news item, because that violence continued for many years. And when you said you went to Saudi Arabia, what qualifications or what were you doing in Saudi Arabia?
I was working for Saudi government. At a Saudi port authority, where I was in charge for unloading and loading cargoes that coming from foreign countries. Basically take the count of what is coming from the ship and what is going into the ship.
Right, okay. So then you left Saudi Arabia and you came directly to Canada, was it?
Yes.
And was it to Toronto, Canada, or where did you land?
I came to Montreal and I stayed there for a few months, and then I came to Toronto.
Right. And in Toronto, how exactly were you established, or what happened in Toronto?
Well, I came to Toronto even though I studied English. I was having a lot of difficulty communicating. I would have the thoughts, I would think in Tamil, and then I tried to convey that in English. It was very, very hard initially. And I brought a lot of money with me, but eventually if you don't work, you're going to spend it all. And there was a need at home, and I need to send some money because of all the troubles. They are affected. A lot of properties were destroyed and damaged, so I needed to help. And I remember one day I really wanted to end my life. You know, there's no point in living anymore. I can't find a job. And that's when the phone rang. And I was offered a job at Ministry of Health. That was my first job in Canada. I did not understand it then. Now I think of it, how much my God loved me at the moment that He knew my heart and what I was going to do. And He provided that for me at that time.
Yes, the providence of God. Yes. And God's love from all eternity, whereby He was providentially still caring for you. Yes. I can see tears in your eyes as you remember these things. It is very, very touching to see the hand of God even before you were saved, knowing that He was going before you and looking after you. So you got this job, and what happened then after you got the job?
I started the job, and my manager, David Field, now he's the director of business and fiscal planning at Ministry of the Attorney General, he realized my difficulties in communicating in English. He called me into his office and he said to me, "Robert, I want you to answer the phone." Here I am at the reception answering phone calls. That is how I learned English, how to speak English. Then he invited me for lunch that day, and I ordered lasagna. He brought sandwich, which his wife made for him. And I ordered lasagna. I did not realize there's a lot of cheese in it. I don't like cheese. So I tasted it a bit, and I could not eat. I was just staring at the lasagna. David watched me and said, "Robert, you could have my sandwich next time you order something that you know what it is." And then David ate my lasagna. And I thought of how David, how caring he was and how he took care of me. Now I think of it, it is for Lord's love. It is because of the Lord that David was so loving and caring, and how he took care of me while I was there.
Very, very, very interesting. And you are single at the time, aren't you?
Yes.
You had not married or anything. In Sri Lanka or in Saudi Arabia or any place. So did your life continue as a single man, or what happened? Did you get to know anybody, or how did your life progress from then on?
This was when I was 24 years old and I began to study. I went to Ryerson University. I was doing accounting courses. As I study hard, the Lord began to work in my life to, you know, gradually I was promoted one job after the other, and I got into a very good position at the Ministry of the Attorney General as a financial analyst. That is when I got married, when I was 32 years old at that time. I remember my wedding night. My wife was talking to me about future plans. I was thinking about the one who loved me. I did not even know who he was. So I turned around and I said to my wife, "I want you to understand something. I do not plan anything in my life. There is someone who controls me."
Yes,
he does all things for me, so I don't know who it is.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then she looked at me like, "What is he talking about?" After I got saved, I told her that story. Remember, now I know who he is.
Yes, yes. Is your wife Canadian, or was she from?
She's also from Sri Lanka.
Also from Sri Lanka, yes.
And she had come here separately, or had her family grown up here in Canada?
She came with her family and they were living in Mississauga. I met her at a park, and that's where my friend of mine introduced me to her. The only thing that I looked for, I wanted to marry a poor girl, and she is poor, so I proposed.
Yes.
The Lord's been so good to me all my life. And the other reason, when I was growing up, there was a time, because my parents, you know, had everything, so they often give me a lot of money to buy clothes. And this was Christmas. I was going to the shop all by myself when I was 18 years old. I wanted to buy the very best because I had enough money in my pocket. And there was this little boy coming, grabbing me by my hand. I just, you know, asking money, I told him I don't have money, and I walked. The boy did not follow me. That really bothered me. So I turned around and I called him and I asked him, why do you need money? And he started telling me a story about his father left him and his mom and his two little sisters home, and they don't have any money to eat. It really shook me so much, and he said that he didn't eat anything for 2 days. He couldn't find his father. So I took him to a restaurant and I told him, you can order anything you want in the menu. And I just sat and I watched him while he finished his food, took all the money that I had and gave it to him. And I said, you go home. I don't think you will find your father. And I came home and I lied to my parents that day that I lost the money. And I felt horrible that I lied to my parents, even though I lied that Christmas, probably the best Christmas in my life. That really changed my life, because the Lord gave me so much joy. And then one day but I was so convicted, I lied to my mom. I told my mom the truth afterwards. This is what happened, and I told her I was so happy during that Christmas. Even now, I'm so happy. Even though I didn't know the Lord, that incident made a great impact in my life. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Yes, I always wanted to take care of the poor.
Well, praise God that even before you were saved, that the Lord was showing you these biblical principles. Now, had you got any children in the marriage, or how did the marriage...
Yeah, I have two children. I have a 14-year-old son, Jeremy, yes, and a 7-year-old daughter, Ashley. They both were born in December.
Yes. Now, I was reading your testimony in written form, and you talked about when your son was 10 years old.
Yes, at
the time. And that you had a serious accident on May the 14th, 2003. Can you tell us something of how that what was that accident, and what exactly happened?
Well, it was an evening after work, and my wife wanted to go buy grocery. We went, car trunk full of grocery. We were coming home, and my daughter wanted a bag of chips. So we went into the mall, and we were coming back into the road. I crossed the southbound lane. Now I'm waiting in the middle bound lane, trying to merge into northbound lane. I got hit from behind at a high speed by two young boys racing each other, one trying to overtake the other one. That's when he hit me, because there was a curve and he didn't see me. At the time, I did not know how much I was injured. I did not feel much. And the next day, I was in a lot of pain. Went to the hospital, and doctor examined me and told me that I have a pinched nerve, and I would have difficulty sitting down and working. He asked me to go through physiotherapy until I get better. So I was home. When you don't go to work, you get paid only 75%. And at the time, my wife also diagnosed with malignant tumor in a thyroid, so she wasn't working. And my father passed away about 2 years before this, and there were a lot of trouble back home. even though they had so much now, they lost everything and they had to go to India. So I was financially helping them and also trying to get my family going. So the finances all of a sudden begin to be a big problem for me. But I did not realize why all this happening at the time. Until that night, I got the call and from home about the family illness, my mom and my two sisters. And my son got into trouble at school and my daughter dislocated her hand. All this is in just one day. So whatever that remained in my bank account and my credit card, I sent it to my mom. Because I had this sense of confidence that I would survive somehow. I believed in something that I did not know, who is the Almighty God. He always provided, took care of me, so He would. So I came home, still does not know who He was, but wondering who it is. In the meantime, my wife asked me to buy a loaf of bread. When I got off the bus, I did not have even a dollar. I sent everything to my family. Until next payday, I have no money. That is when I was sitting, lying down in the bed and just pondering in my heart, why all this? And I remembered my screensaver. It is all worldly, all the beautiful people, sports cars, and the beautiful vacation resorts.
This is the screensaver on your computer. Yes, yes.
That moment I just hated it. I hated it so much I walked towards my computer and I just deleted it. Now I wanted to find something that is meaningful. I was browsing and I come to this website, WebShots, find this category, biblical verses. Clicked on it, installed it. The first verse came on. Man cannot live on bread alone. He must understand every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I was completely shaken. The two questions that came into my heart, who is this God and what did He say? That's when I remembered the Bible. This is in 2003. I remembered the Bible I bought in 1986 in Greece. I ran to the bedroom. I picked it up. I opened it up and I began to read, and it was another language to me. I did not understand any of it. I find it very boring. So I put it back on the bookshelf and I lie down thinking, why all this is happening? And my daughter simply did not want to believe that her dislocated elbow is now all okay. Even though we were telling her, she simply did not want to get up. She was 3 years old. The moment I put the Bible back on the shelf, she got up from her bed, pulled the Bible and put it in front of me, and she walked out. I just said, Ashley, please put the Bible back in the bookshelf. She just nodded her head saying no, and she walked out of the room. I knew that was God's doing. Something that told me it is God's doing. I have to take it and read it. That is when I took the Bible in my hand, and all this memory just flashbacks. How God protected me from my childhood. I was in very serious accident, and one day I fell into the well. I was a child, and He brought me back up. I thought of the riots and how He cared for me and how He protected me. And the van accident, many boys died, my friends, and I just came out of the van without even a mark on my body. And I said to Him that day, like how I would talk to my own father, if this is You, O Lord, that who done all this thing for me, I know You could make me understand this book. That is when I opened the Bible, and Jeremiah 29:13, You will seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. I will be found of you, thus saith the Lord. And I stopped at that time. And I indeed make a commitment, Lord, thou indeed spoke to my heart. I'm going to commit to do just that. I'm going to seek you with all my heart. And I begin to read. And I read the Gospel of Luke in about 3 hours, I believe, and it all made sense. And Lord, my Father indeed brought me to Christ, who cared for me all my life, finally showed me who I should come to, that is Christ, and Christ indeed revealed me the Father in heaven.
Praise God.
By His Word.
That is just a wonderful, wonderful testimony of the grace of God, you know, that He who had known you from before the foundation of the world revealed to you His own precious Word, and that Christ Jesus, through the written Word, showed you the Father, and the Father who had cared for you over all those years. That is just a wonderful account of God's graciousness. For, as it says in Scripture, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the work of God, not of works. That is truly God's graciousness to you in saving you and showing you. And this all happened then about August, was it?
21st.
August the 21st, 2003, the same year.
It all started in the evening, and I believe I got saved around 2 o'clock in the morning. I did not sleep that whole night.
2 o'clock in the morning?
Yes.
How exactly did it happen at 2 o'clock in the morning? What exactly happened around
that
time?
Well, all this incident indeed shook me. And I really felt that I was in another world at that time. I thought God is coming down on me. I thought the whole world is going upside down. I even opened the blind and see if anything happening outside. I was so shaken completely. I felt something is so major happened to me. I did not know what it was. In the meantime, all this is, and I understood the holiness of God, how perfect He is, how righteous He is. Here I am, a sinful man. I felt like I was standing at the judgment seat. I was so broken down. I feared and I trembled. That is when I ran into the washroom and I cried out. I do not believe I have ever cried that loud. The reason I opened the shower, because I don't want anyone to hear my cry. I was in the washroom, water pouring down, and I said, "Oh my God and my Father, I sinned against Thee, forgive all my sins. I surrender my life, and I will live for You from this day onwards. Forgive my sins." And I praised Him, and I give Him thanks for all these years, because I did not know Him. I did not know Him to give thanks. So here is my chance. Finally, I know who He is. And I called upon Him and I give Him thanks. And even to this very day, that's what I do.
So you're in the shower, isn't it? With the water pouring, crying out to God to wash you clean from your sin, you know. And how did that night continue? You didn't get any sleep at all? Did you continue till the morning, or how was it, or what happened?
No, I didn't sleep. I went back, and I remember that moment even as it is now. I was so happy and so joyful in my heart. I felt like I was walking in the air. That is when I began to feel so weak. I remember I was so weak, I began to shake and I fell on my knees. My knee hit the floor and I had this great urge to ask my God something. And I said to Him, "Lord, from this moment onwards, I want to think of You every moment. That's all I need in my life. I want to think of You every moment. And I want to hate this world and the evil as long as I live in this world." Now I know God answered my prayer.
Praise God.
He's in my mind all the time.
Praise God. Well, that is a wonderful, wonderful wonderful testimonies of grace, God. I'd like to come to some of the other difficulties to see how the Lord worked. You talked about your wife having a malignant tumor. What happened with that tumor, and how, did she get cured of it, or what,
well,
what's her situation?
She got admitted in the hospital, and the day I was with her, and I told her the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would never let my wife down. Don't worry, I'm praying for you.
Yeah.
You will be healed. And as I said, the Lord healed her. The tumor is completely gone. There is no signs of cancer anymore.
Praise God, yes.
She's
yes.
very healthy now.
Well, that's great. And what happened to your son and his behavior problems? And
well, it continues, and I... Since then, I took him now and put him in the school, the private school here, Whitfield Christian School. Things have turned around since then.
Yes, yes.
But there's a lot of improvement to be done in his life. But I realized that it is only the Lord Almighty can do that, because I was just like him when I was growing up.
Yes. Well, the same Lord we pray that, you know, had saved you will one day, you know, draw your son unto himself too. And what happened? How is your daughter? What age is she now? And how is
she? She's now 7, and they truly struggle at home because my wife is still an unbeliever. Even though she eyewitnessed all this that the Lord had done, she loves the world so much, and she's having great difficulty come to the Lord. And she admits this to me all the time. But the what is it too hard for the Lord at the appointed time, and she would bring her. My prayer and my cries every night, for every opportunity that I get, it is that the Lord would save her. Among other things, I never forget to ask the Lord to save her and my
family. Yes, wonderful, wonderful. Now, in your testimony, you highlight, your written testimony, you highlight the text that means so much to me and has been so precious to me in my own life, Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the
word
of his power, who by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. I think I got that word for word as it is in the Bible. It shows Christ as the brightness of the Father's glory, the express image of his person. He is one with the Father, and the express image, you know, in his humanity, in human form, of who God is. He has come from the bosom of the Father to reveal the Father to us. It's a precious verse that summarizes so much of Scripture. And then this profound declaration of the divinity of Christ, being one with the Father and the express image of his person, then who, after he had purged our sins, to think that this, the glorious Christ, one with the Father, personally purged our sins, you know, that he it was who substituted for us on the cross, laid down his life for his sheep, and is now seated in glory at the right hand of the God, the Most High. Why is it that you quote this, and in what context do you quote it in your testimony?
It was, I wanted God to speak to me. I wanted to hear his audible voice. And I really believed that he would talk to me. I expected that. It didn't happen. That's when I opened the word and I begin to read. When I come to that verse and I realized he's upholding all things by the word of his power. If I want to know God, I must read the word. That is the only way I come to know anything about God.
Yes, yes.
That is why I quoted that.
Oh, I see, yes. And that Christ Jesus upholds all things
by the word of his power.
Power, yes. And it's, and as Christ said himself in John chapter 17, you know, where he says that we sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. God's written word is truth. And he had given us the written word of truth through the apostles who wrote down the word of truth, you know. And like the apostle Paul said, all scriptures given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for instruction, for correction, for instruction rights, that the man of God may be perfect, truly equipped for all good works. I didn't get that word for word, but basically what the scripture says there in the second letter to Timothy. So how then did you grow then in knowledge of the Lord through his written word?
Well, I couldn't put the Bible back. I was home for about 6 months. I continued to read and read, and I believe the first year I read from Genesis to Revelation about 4 times. I just loved it and I enjoyed it. And I remember one night about 3 o'clock in the morning, I did not want anyone to see me because my wife often complained about lights on in the night, and I was in the washroom having the Bible and sitting there reading it. My wife walked into the washroom and said that I should be admitted in a mental hospital. And the next morning I tried to explain it to her. It is not me. It is something that the Lord done in my heart. I desire him so much. I wanted to read his word because I needed to know who he is. I needed to know the mind of God. I really wanted to know all about him, the history and how he worked in people's life. And I just enjoyed it so much, and that became my entertainment. Before, it was watching sports and movies, and there are many things, going out with my friends. I had no desire anymore. Since my wife was pushing me to get back to normal, I remember one day I turned on the TV and I wanted to watch a hockey game. I just felt like I was looking at a wall, a hockey game going on. I shut down the TV and I went back, take my Bible and begin to read it again. And even to this day, that is my joy, reading his words.
Has your wife come to know the Lord herself? Has God's grace been manifest in her life, or how has it been with her?
And she's still unsaved.
She's still unsaved, yes.
I kept on praying the Lord would change her one day and give her grace.
So
the more I prayed for my wife, the more the Lord changed me. I remember the other day she said to me, in many families, the people love each other when they get married, and after that it becomes so sour, they don't like them anymore. In my marriage, I feel that after 15 years, you love me more now. I could only give thanks to my God. It's all his grace.
She said that to you.
She said that to me.
Well, that is lovely that she still experiences the success of the marriage on a human plane, and the fact that you love her. That is grace, that God has caused you to be gracious to her. And we just pray that one day that the Lord would save her utterly too in Christ Jesus.
I mean, there's another side to it. When I got saved, I began to see the world as so evil, and I began to hate it all. It really bothered everything that is going on in my home. I was so hard on my wife. In the meantime, I'm praying to the Lord, and that is why I believe the Lord gave me grace day and night to be changed, so I would be kind, just like how he is. Kind to the sinners.
Yes, kind to sinners. And what is your desire in reaching out to Catholics? I know that I have a great love for Catholics, you know, because of my own background is all in Catholicism, and I desire to meet Catholics, you know, in the mall or at the gas station or, you know, at the checkout counter in the supermarket. And you know, I go out of my way to try and meet Catholic people, and to, you know, to give them the gospel and to share with them, you know. And I just hope that the person now is tuned in, maybe Roman Catholic, and see that, you know, that we are trying to reach out to them too, you know, explaining your testimony, the love of God from eternity, and, you know, that God's graciousness extends to sinners, you know, who have no claim whatsoever on His mercy, but He, because of His love,
yes,
can be reached as the God of love and the God of grace. So what is your desire? Do you have an outreach to reach precious Catholic people?
Well, that is exactly what I do every day. Whatever the opportunity, I pray to the Lord every morning that the Lord would make it possible in my life, that I would share it with someone. At times there would be one, there would be three, there would be four. And I remember the very first time, my very first testimony at work to this young girl. She got saved that very day. She went into the washroom and she came out crying. And she's Roman Catholic and she's from New Brunswick. Her name is Shelley Swire. Since that incident, I realize how much more I need to be a witness for the Lord and tell people. But there are times that people rejected Him, and there are times people don't want to hear it. So there is all sorts of different stories, but I did not stop. I continue on. Whether they want to hear it or they don't want to hear it, I would tell as long as I live about the love of God and His grace. Yes. And His plan of redemption.
That is just wonderful. That account where you witnessed to that lady, and you know, she heard the word and came to know the saving, yes, love of God. It reminded me of one time I was in a restaurant, and I witnessed to the waitress, and I told her how I had been a Catholic priest and how God showed me that I was utterly a sinner and that I had to trust Him and Him alone. And I gave her a small printed form of my testimony, you know, at the table. This is at the beginning of the meal. And towards the end of the meal, she came back over to the table and there were tears in her eyes. She said, I have read your testimony and I see that, as you say in the testimony, it's by grace that we are saved through faith and not of ourselves, and it's not of works and it's not of the church sacraments. And I have cried out to God that He would save me and that I would be right with Him. And so here is the waitress telling me that the Lord has touched her, and she was in tears and she went away, and we were continuing with the meal, and then she came back and she said, where can I go to church tomorrow? I want to go to a Bible-believing church because I really trust on Christ and Christ alone, and I cannot go back this Sunday. I cannot go back to the Catholic Church. And from what I could see was that very evening in the restaurant that this lady had been saved by God's grace. And it's amazing the power of God's love. You know, we don't know, but it appeared to me to be so. And as you were giving that account, it just brought back to my mind that time in the restaurant. And, you know, I have often prayed for what I call a divine appointment,
yes,
where God sets it up. And when it happens, it's obviously not something that we set up, you know, it's what God set up. And you feel like saying, Lord, depart from me, I'm a sinful man, because you sense that the grace of God has, you know, convicted somebody and drawn them onto the Savior by the grace of God. And it is literally awesome. And I'd like to say to a viewer that similarly, to know that God, in His gracious love in Christ Jesus, has loved His own from before the foundation of the world. He is the God of love, as it says in 1 John chapter 4 verse 8, God is love. He is the God of love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe on him should not perish but should have everlasting life. It is God so loved the world. It all begins with the love of the Father in sending his Son to die for us wretched sinners. And it's to have that profound reality, which is translates as, you know, our utter humility, or to know the reality that we can do nothing to save us, and that to know that we are utterly destitute of all righteousness, that spiritually we are dead in trespasses and sins, to know that we can do nothing, to cry out to him for the faith and the grace to save us. But God graciously does that, and more we get accounts of Catholics who have cried out to God to save them. It's no church that saves you. It's no institution. it's the power of God, yes, as it was in Robert's own life and in my own life. It's the power of God, and that can be personally true of you also. And that's why we make a program like this, is so that we can share with you that it is God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's his love from all eternity, an everlasting love. That's what we're speaking about. That love was shown in sending Christ Jesus to die for his own, those that he has chosen in Christ. And when you're willing to admit that you're a sinner, destitute of grace, and that you are willing to, you know, to cry out to him for his grace, you are given the grace that you may trust on him. And as you trust on him, you know in fact that God has made you right before himself in Christ, as it says in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6, accepted in the beloved to the praise of the glory of his grace. So how are things with you at the present day? What is your job, and how are things with you, and, you know, do you continue, you know, in fellowship with other believers, or, you know, just how are things going with you, Robert?
There's a Tamil community where I get invitation to go and teach the children time to time, which I do that with all my heart. That's something that I truly enjoy. Summertime we distribute gospels.
In the Tamil language, is it?
No, the gospels we distribute in English from our church.
Yes, yes.
Which I really enjoy the most. And continue in prayer, talk to my God all the time.
Yes, yes.
Asking for help, strength, grace, direction. And then watching it, how he does it.
Yes.
How he moves and how he directs and how he opens the door, and then you just marvel and have joy of how God is doing all these things.
Yes, we have about 4 minutes or so to finish, and I would like if you could just speak to the viewer and say to them just what you would like them to know. You know, if there's a person watching you, you know, and what would you say to them? They say, well, you know, I've grown up Catholic and, you know, I don't know what to do with my life, or what is your advice to me? You know, they're looking at you now. And what do you say to a devout Catholic person watching you now?
I just wanted them to know there is only one true God who created the heavens and the earth and all that in them. And we sinned against this very God and rejected his love. But he wanted to show his mercy and his love towards this lost humanity. And he sent his only begotten Son into this world. And he paid it all. All we need to do is just cry unto our God and repent of all our sins. Ask for his grace to believe and have faith to be changed and to enjoy the eternal life. That is the gift that he promised to give everyone who comes to God. I also wanted to say this. I lived my life as a fearless man. I feared none until the day I read in Luke chapter 4, I believe, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but fear him who can cast your body and your soul into hell." That shook me. That is the day that I came to realize what hell is. So I really wanted to plead with anyone who listens to this message. If you reject the grace of God and the love of God, there is another side that we need to face. The only way is Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the truth, I am the way, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Religion does not save man, it is Christ. So I ask anyone who is in need of a Savior, come to Christ and be saved and receive the gift of eternal life.
Praise God. That is such a touching finish to this interview. And Robert Silva, I'm so happy to have had this opportunity. And it is a fearsome thing that God has given us such a gift in His Son. And to reject it is such a serious sin before God, and that we fear God and not man, and that we say, "Yes, Lord, give me the faith to trust you and you alone, that I may know the same Christ Jesus that Robert Sylvan knows, and that I may enjoy that everlasting life that he speaks of." I want to thank you for viewing, and thank you for being with us, Robert, and sharing from your heart. It has been really most touching, and we just praise the Lord for his grace. To him be praise, glory, worship, and honor, now and forevermore. Amen and amen.
Thank you.